a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Currently at the Elk City Mezzanet, it's 81 degrees. Heat index is at 82. The winds are out of the northeast, 8 miles an hour with 12 mile an hour gusts. Humidity is 51. Let's check out some area temperatures around our listening area. And looks like Mangum is a hot spot in the whole state, 86 degrees. Woodward, you're 82. Buffalo, you're 85. Arnett, you're the coolest out here in the western part of the state, 78. Canadian, Texas, you're 80. Wheeler, you're 81. Shamrock, you're 81 also. And Hobart, one of my favorite towns in western Oklahoma, is 80 degrees. And Weatherford's at 80 also. So anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. But first, before I get to the grain report, I have some breaking news. Hot off the press, we've expanded. The Today in Ag Show is coming to Woodward, Oklahoma, September 1st of 2022. Coming up here pretty quick. It will be in, so you can tune in Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. every day on KWFX 100.1 out of Woodward. So I'm excited. We're going to, it'll be live just like it is right now. And so I got a lot of friends up in the northwestern part of the state, and they can listen to me. So we'll be on KWFX 100.1 starting September 1st. And we'll also be on KCO-FM live broadcast on our website. We broadcast live every day on Facebook Live. And, of course, right here on KCO. And so, anyway, I'm excited. News will be coming out in this week's Penny News. So get your copy. It might be a collector's item. You never know. And but anyway, I'm excited. We're going to be broadcasting the Day and Ag Show will be all over western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Just it's crazy. Anyway, it's fun. It's exciting. We're growing. And you guys are the ones that's making it happen. You listen to the show. Anyway, got anything you want to talk about today? The Day and Ag text line is open, 580-225-9697. Well, let's get on with our grain report. Corn futures, September, 663. December is 659. March is 665. And May is 666. And that's per bushel. Soybeans, 1578 for September. November is 1473. January is 1478. And March is 1479. FYI, everything is in the green today except for natural gas. Soybean meal, September, $469.70 a short ton. October's $431.70. December's $426.40. Soybean oil, September, $70.17 per cents. 70 pennies, that's what it is. October, 68.33 cents. December, 67.56 cents. Hard red winter wheat, September, $8.92 a bushel. And December, $8.88. Scroll on down here and see what cotton's done. Actually, I lied. Cotton's in the red. Not much, though. October is $1.17 a pound. December is $1.14 a pound. I hadn't talked about sugar this week, have I? Anyway, Bill Dance, he's in the red today. He's at 17.9 pennies a pound for sugar. Anyway, I heard that the hogs got into sugar over there, the sugar cane. But I haven't been able to talk to him to confirm that. But as soon as I get confirmation on if the hogs got in the sugar cane, I will let you know. Because I will let you know that I went and checked the corn out yesterday down at Granite on the pivot, and the hogs are in my corn. I will let you know that. But I talked to the Kiowa County trapper, and he was going to be there today. So anyway, all good there. All right, let's check out the cash grain prices at the elevators in Texas and in Oklahoma. Hard red winter wheat cash price is $8.31 a bushel. Corn $7.35, Milo $6.65, and soybeans are $15.03 a bushel. Well, let's check out what's going on in the world today that's causing the price to be in the green today, in the black. Grains and soybeans jumped in overnight trading as the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour kicked off, showing less than ideal conditions in South Dakota. Participants on the tour said they expected corn yields in South Dakota to average about 118.5 bushels an acre, and that's down from 151.5 bushels last year, and down from the prior three-year average of 161.6 bushels. That's quite a bit. That's a lot of money right there. Soybean pods in a 3-by-3-foot square averaged 871.4 this year. That's down from 996.9 pods last year in that same 3-foot square. And the average in the last 3 years has been actually a little over 1,000 pods per 3-foot square. It wasn't as bad on the eastern side of the tour, where participants inspected fields in Ohio. Corn yield was estimated at 174.2 bushels an acre in the state. That's down from 185 a year ago, but ahead of the three-year average of 169 bushels. Soybean pods in Ohio total 1,131.6 pods in per a 3-by-3 plot. That's down from 1,195.4 a year ago, but higher than the normal of 1,038, the tour data showed. A report from the USDA that showed declining conditions for both corn and soybeans is helping boost prices this morning. About 55% of the corn crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday. That's down from 57% a week earlier. That's also down from the 60% that earned top ratings at the same point last year. 4% of the crop was mature at the start of the week, on par with the average for this time of the year. Some 31% was dennet, down from 35% average, and 75% was silking versus the normal 79%. Around 57% of the soybeans were in good or excellent condition. That's down from 58% a week earlier. 84% of the crop was setting pods, down slightly from the prior five-year average of 86%. Wheat prices were being pressured this morning as the winter harvest finishes up and collection of spring crops rolls on. About 95% of the winter wheat crop in the U.S. was in the bin at the start of the week. That's behind the 97% average for this time of the year. The spring wheat harvest continues, but at a much slower than normal pace. Only 33% of the crop was collected as of Sunday, while that's up from 16% that was harvested a week earlier. It's down from the prior five-year average of 54%. Corn futures for the December delivery jumped 15 cents to $6.44 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 10 cents to $14.45 a bushel. Soy meal was up $5.30 to $420.70 a short ton, while soybean oil futures fell 0.09 pennies to 66.26 a pound. Wheat for December delivery surged 14.5 cents to $8.02 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures gained 15.75 cents to $8.81 a bushel. Inspections of corn for export rose last week, while bean and wheat assessments declined. Corn inspections in the 7 days that ended on August 18th improved to 740,000 metric tons, and that's up from 539,000 metric tons a week earlier. Soybean assessments fell to 686,000 metric tons, and that's down from 768,000 tons a week earlier. Wheat inspections were reported at 594,273 metric tons, and that's way up from 389,000 tons the previous week, but down from the 729,000 tons examined the same time period as last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the government has inspected 53.8 million metric tons of corn for export. That's down from 65.5 million tons assessed the same time a year earlier. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September now stand at 56.5 million metric tons. That's down from 59 million tons same time last year, according to the USDA. Wheat assessments since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st now stand at $4.49 million metric tons, and that's down from almost 6 million tons a year earlier. Well, let's see what the weather's doing around here. Thunderstorms are possible in parts of central South Dakota and central Minnesota, but the odds of severe weather are low. Isolated storms are forecast for the areas starting today and lasting through the week. The main threat appears to be lightning and gusty wind. Some non-severe storms are possible in northeastern Nebraska and west central Iowa this afternoon. Thunderstorm chances will persist through the rest of the week into the early next week, according to the National Weather Service. And if I remember looking at the drought map yesterday, that's not a bad spot for some rains this week because they are needing it. In the southern United States, meanwhile, flood watches remain in effect for parts of Arkansas, Louisiana, and North Texas amid excessive rainfalls in the region. Excessive rain runoff may result in floodings of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone areas. I don't know if you guys are watching Weather Channel yesterday afternoon any or last night. Dallas, man, it was bad. They were just that whole area down in there just got a lot of rain in a quick time, and it was a bad deal. Anyway, we need rain, but and we'll take it however we can get, but they can have all the floods they want. I also seen yesterday that there's a storm brewing out there in Atlanta, so maybe some hurricane season might be officially getting here pretty quick, because we haven't had any hurricanes this year. So anyway, we'll might get some good rainfalls out of that. It's been a couple of years since a hurricane in Houston or down in that area, Corpus, has brought any much needed moisture that we've needed up here in a few years. So don't wish anything bad on them, but we need the ponds filled up before the winter gets here, so we'll take it however we can get it. When I come back, we'll talk about cattle. I'll give you the reports from Elk City Friday. Clinton, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at Clinton, that is, yesterday. Anyway, looks like they had some pretty good sales, and the prices are still up. So I'll be right back after this. It's Jimmy Clark with The Day in Ag.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 19th. 2,553 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 270 brought 221. 7 at 453 brought 193. 6 at 548 brought 185. 5 at 686 brought 151. 6 at 836 brought 165.50. 3 head of heifers at 318 brought 181. 5 at 406 brought 185. 13 at 489 brought 176. 6 at 552 brought 168. 8 at 771 brought 155.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 93. Butcher bulls brought 52 to 117.50. Bred cows were 750 to 1225. Pairs brought 760 to 1500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. the ability to get hay right now. And when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Looks like here at the Gabe Gadget Maisonette, we got 82.9 degrees. The winds are 4 or 5 miles an hour out of the northeast. And what is it, 46% humidity. Area temperatures still holding tight. Mangum's still a hot spot basically in the whole state at 85. Everybody around. They got a fire going on down there or something because it's showing 80 all the way around them. And then right in the middle is 85. So anyway, the heat is on in Mangum. 85 degrees, 81 at Cheyenne, 80 at Woodward. And we just had a temperature claim change in Freedom, Oklahoma. They're northeast of Woodward is 86 and Buffalo is 84. All right, well, let's continue on. You guys know what Tuesdays is around the Today in Ag show, right? Not only is it Heyday Tuesdays, but it's Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic Happy Hour. Stockman's Veterinarian Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryos transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, pig, veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding, and indoor-outdoor runs. Full surgery with gas anesthesia included C-sections and pet dental needs and an on-site laboratory for digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species, call 580-225-0200. Easy number, 225-0200, or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. Well, all right. It's Heyday Tuesdays also. Let's check out what's going on with the markets in the last week. And of course, looks like everything's up on alfalfa. Let's see who's the highest in the United States. That's reported. Well, it's California, $475 a ton. on the average, it looks like everywhere, but around here, it's anywhere from $200 to $400. New Mexico is probably one of the highest. Texas actually is. Texas, $330 to $430 a ton for premium alfalfa. Neighbor to the north, Kansas, $210 to $330 a ton on premium. And we got $180 to $290 on good alfalfa. In Missouri, neighbors to the east, $180 to $300 a ton on premium, $150 to $180 on good. Nebraska, $250 to $260 a ton on premium. New Mexico, $250 to $400. Oklahoma, $200 to $300 a ton for premium alfalfa. And, of course, Texas is $330 to $430, and that's about it on that. Get down here to the grass. And it looks like Oregon, they're the winners, $425 a ton for grass hay. That's what they're giving up there. Looks like Kansas is $120 to $225 on premium grass. Missouri is around $175. They got Oklahoma in there from $150 to $200 a ton for a premium grass. And in Texas, $240 to $330 for a premium grass, and actually pretty high on just good grass, $140 to $275. There's not a D by there, so I'm guessing that's not delivered. Anyway, speaking of hay, Greg Hartman was on here yesterday, and, you know, if you haven't already, you need to be making your plans, and I'm going to hit on that here in just a little bit about whether to buy hay or not buy hay, because These hay prices that I'm giving out here on the radio are just reported sales in these states. And not every farmer or rancher reports their sales, or neither are they required to either. But I think there's a lot of hay going from, especially out here in western Oklahoma, if you can find some here, you got anywhere from $175 a ton to up to $300 to $350 a ton for some prime alfalfa. Pretty much $200 a ton for anything but alfalfa is what the going rate is. So if you figure that out on a $1,500 bale or 1,500 pound bale, that's $125 to $150 a bale for a bale of hay. And then I know our cattle prices are great, but we just, is it good enough for the inputs? I'm not sure. Well, let's touch on the cattle real quick, if I can get it to come up on the futures. There we go. Live cattle for August is 141.77. October live cattle 144.67. December live is 150.70, and February live is 154.92. Feeder cattle August 180.97, September 182.40, and these feeder cattle went in the red since we started the show, so it's down a little bit. Lean hogs, October 93.10, December 84.45, February 88. Well, let's check out what happened. I know Drew said some stuff about it on the Elk City Livestock ad, but let's just check it out. So last Friday, they had 2,553 head. And yesterday, somebody said there was around 3,000, but that was pretty close. On steers, 400 pounders up to 216, 432 pounders 219, had some 462 pounders 203, and get up in there to some 548 pounders on steers is where'd I lost it? Phone started ringing. 185, 579, 187, 647, 172. 785s bringing around a $1.74. On the heifer side, looks like they had some three weights were basically in the 190 to 195. Get down here into the four weights, 185, 184, 460s were bringing 180, 474s 180. So the heifers were really good, and then some 500 pounders were bringing $1.68, and then we get down here and some 624 pounders brought $1.60. Well, let's check out what the butcher cows were bringing up to $93 Butcher bulls were bringing up to $117.50. Bred cows up to $12.25. And pairs were bringing up to $1,500. Well, let's see what happened yesterday over there east of Clinton. Steers, 428 pounders, $225. 520, 202. Some 600s, 607s, and 608s were bringing 190 to 193. And 700s were bringing anywhere from $1.72 to $1.77 on the steers. On the heifers, we got some 433 pounders, $1.70. 505 pounders, $1.72. 677 pounders, $1.72. I mean, basically all the heifers, no matter what the weight was until you got up to the 900 pounders, were in the 155s up to 175. So it was pretty good. And they had some butcher cows there yesterday also. They were bringing up to 92.50, and butcher bulls were bringing up to $1.20. When I get back, we're going to talk some more hay. And we're going to talk a little bit about last week's Texas and Oklahoma sell barn report to see if things are going steady in Texas as they are in Oklahoma. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today and we'll have a truck headed your way.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
84 degrees here at Elk City, 84 for a heat index. Humidity is dropping to 43%. The winds are now out of the east. 10 miles an hour with gusts up to, 14, 15 miles an hour. No big deal. Beautiful day out there as far as I'm concerned. Check out some area temperatures real quick, and we'll have our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up here in about 10 minutes. Here, say, Mangum, you're still in first place, but it looks like Eric in Elk City and Camargo is coming to get you. They're at 84. Altus is 80. Buffalo, you're at 85. Freedom, 85. Woodward is 83. And Slapout, I think that's Lacey Swope's favorite town in Oklahoma. It's 80 degrees. Anyway, I don't know when she's coming back, to be honest with you. I've been leaving her alone. She's got two kids now. She's probably highly stressed. And Troy, the new one, that just came, it'd be 2 months old yesterday, I think. Anyway, I don't know when she's going back to work. I don't know when she's coming back on the show, but we'll get it all figured out. Anyway, I miss her. She's a good gal. All right, let's check out what's happening here on the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Cow Buyer. Let's check out what's going on with the Texas Direct stock reports on from the stockyards there last year, last week, not last year, and then we'll do Oklahoma's. Okay, in Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $5 higher. Trade was fairly active on moderate to good demand. Cooler temperatures coupled with good chances of rain that was in the forecast that happened through the weekend had stocker calves buyers in good spirits. Supply included 81% feeder cattle, 16% slaughtered cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Total receipts at the stockyards in Texas last week, 6,039 head were sold compared to 6,800 the week before. And this time last year, they only sold 3,587. Let's check out some of these prices. We had some big load of 377 average weight brought 240. Up to 240, 221 was their average. Big load, 100 head of 420 weights brought up to 238. And humongous load, a bunch of 475s brought 222. Then we get into the 5 weights. 522s were bringing up to $1.98. Some 518 weights brought $2.15. There was value added on these. And then here's some 614 pounders that were unwinged brought $1.70. And some 699 pounders unwinged $1.64. And then they had some 731s that brought $1.68. And then they had some other 781s that brought $1.80. So it looks like prices were good. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers sold $3 to $8 higher, feeder heifers $1 to $4 higher. Demand very good for feeder cattle as limited numbers continue to be the headline, and out-of-state buyers are also competing for supply. Steer calves sold $6 to $8 higher, with 300 to 400 pounds and up $20 higher. Heifer calves sold $5 to $10 higher. Demand for calves improved as rains has fallen in some areas of the state and temperatures have cooled down. Slaughter cows sold mostly $3 lower. Slaughter bulls $1 lower. Demand moderate as large number of cows continue to move to the market. Supply included 84% feeder, 13% slaughter, and 3% replacement. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 55%. So there's a lot of small calves in there last week. 29,445 head sold in sale barns last week in Oklahoma compared to 33,000 the week before and 26,847 head this time last year. So it wasn't pretty normal, not too bad. Calf prices on some steers. Let's check out some. They had some. Here you go, 270 pounders were bringing $260 per hundred weight. Some 333 pounders, $251 per hundred weight. 329 pounders here brought $259 per hundred weight. And then some 379s brought $255. Then we get down here into some four weights. Huge amount, almost 300 head that averaged 426 pounds. Was anywhere from 202 to 244 a pound. And some 436 pounders, 436 pounders was bringing up to 232. They had value added. Some 423 pounders unwinged 205.39. And then some more unwings that weighed 476, 193.97 per hundred weight. Then they had some 452s with value added, $230, and then some thin flesh that weighed 536, average weight brought $224. And so, anyway, looks like the market's still there, gentlemen. It's still there. And that's all right. Let's go on. Here we go. Here's my story for the day. Should you feed cattle through the drought, or should you sell your cows now? This has been going on for a couple months, but this person wrote this story up so well and gave some alternatives for you to think about. And good attendance at a livestock drought recovery meeting highlighted the devastating impacts to the intense heat and the lack of rainfall that we're having on our rural communities. I'm going to throw something in there before I continue on this story. Up there in the north central part of Oklahoma here in our state, they've been getting a lot of heat. They've had some moisture, but they've got this heat has killed a lot of things. And I noticed on Oklahoma Cattlemen's Facebook page yesterday, there were some hay for sale. And it looks like what's happening is that that heat has destroyed their milo crops up there and probably their corn crops too. And they're just swathing it down and making hay out of it now to get the best of it. So the heat has been really bad, either whether you're in a drought or not, because the north central part's been getting a little more rain than us. But the heat does affect everything from crops to cattle to humans' brain cells. But anyway, cattlemen and women everywhere are searching for solutions to feed their herds, clinging to the livelihood they spent a lifetime creating. I helped teach a number of these meetings across Missouri, she said. It seems everywhere farmers are wondering if the current situation will repeat of 2012 through 14, when extended years of drought shrunk the beef cow herd so small that when the weather finally improved, cattle prices took off like a rocket to records never believed possible. And I do remember 2014 and 15, my calf crop makes my land payment. And I actually made a land payment plus some with that calf crop in 2015. It was unreal. Could this happen again, they ask? And if so, how do they hold on in the meantime? Profits are possible. You don't have to look very far on the internet to find plenty of articles discussing the massive amount of beef cows going to slaughter this year. In addition, the percentage of heifers in the feedlot continues to run high. This is due to the drought, but also because the cow-calf profitability has not been good enough to encourage heifer retention for several years now, and especially this year, with input costs so high. So as producers continue to sell off their production factory, before long, we may indeed find ourselves with a national beef herd as low as it was in 2014. When the last cattle cycle ended and we began rebuilding the herds, does this mean record prices and profits are just over the horizon? First, always realize life has few guarantees. While USDA forecasts are indicating higher prices ahead, there's also risk. Global politics threaten exports, and a possible recession here at home may affect the consumer's buying power. But even more important than this, realize higher prices do not always mean higher profits. Focus on input costs. Throughout my career at MU, I've been through multiple rounds of drought meetings, but I must tell you this time feels more complicated than any of them. Drought usually causes the price of hay and some feed ingredients to rise. Sometimes the change is temporary, sometimes it lasts for extended periods of time, but as we search for creative feeding options in 2022, we can find any input that has not drastically increased in price since the beginning of the pandemic. Replacing $100 bale, per bale hay with distillers isn't as helpful as it once was now that they cost $325 plus per ton. High-priced seed, fertilizer, diesel, fuel, and equipment costs can make winter annuals or stockpile forages more expensive than in the past. Don't get me started on land prices or the cost of labor. Finding the creative feeding solution that seems more challenging this year, but even more scarier than this, is what does this mean for next year's cost of production? Does anyone believe our input costs will miraculously go back down to previous levels? Can someone look into their crystal ball and tell me how we can solve our inflation problems? It brings me back to the original question. Should I feed through the drought or sell cows now? I believe every operation has individual cows or groups that, if removed from the feed bill, will improve the overall productivity of your herd. Use this time to get rid of those lower producers. And Craig said that yesterday on the show, and he is on here. A bonus this year compared to previous drought is slaughter cow prices are much higher than normal. This allows us to generate more cash by culling, preg check, early wing, and sort into groups based on feed needs to improve your feeding efficiency. Invest in infrastructure that makes you more efficient and lowers your cost of production. But for how aggressive you should dig into selling productive cows, as much as I hate to use the traditional answer, the reality is it depends. The answer will be different for every operation. In the absence of some unforeseen black swan affecting the market, lower cattle numbers will lead to higher prices in the future. But for everyone, use this time to get your house in order. Prepare yourself how to deal with sustained higher costs in the future. That's how we protect our legacy going forward. The less of those inputs your operation requires, might be willing to spend a little more winter and hold on to some extra cows. I believe my margins are going to be highly profitable in the future. When I come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 22nd. 1,015 head were sold, 14 head of steers at 369 brought 233, 10 at 440 brought 190, 18 at 608 brought 193, 8 at 700 brought 172, 6 at 755 brought 177, 5 head of heifers at 364 brought 185, 5 at 551 brought 156, 12 at 696 brought 176.25, 8 at 936 brought 147, 35 at 721 brought 172.50. Butcher cows were 41 to 92.50. Butcher bulls brought $79.50 to $120. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Currently 85 degrees, heat index is 85, winds are out of the east at 14 with wind gust up to 20. Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for this week through Saturday: sunny, 87 today, 64 for a low tonight, 88 for a high tomorrow, and sunny tomorrow night, 64 degrees for a low. Thursday, 89 for a high, mostly sunny. Friday, 89, partly sunny. Saturday, 20% chance of thunderstorms moves in, but it warms up to nice, crispy 90 degrees. I'm telling you, these high 80s are way better than these high 90s and triple digits we've been getting. Anyway, like I said, I'm so excited. Next week, September 1st, KWFX 100.1, we're going to be... The Today in Ag show is coming to Northwestern Oklahoma live on KWFX 100.1. So you guys, get ready. Party's on. We're coming to see you, and we'll be talking. Everything will be the same. I'm just going to be doing the show the same for up there as I am for Southwestern Oklahoma. And we'll probably get into a little more into the northeastern part of the Texas Panhandle, so I'm excited, and probably some into Kansas. We're going big here. We're expanding. But no, we're worldwide right now on the website on KCOFM.com. You can watch the show live on there if you've forgotten. So now you remember, so I remember to tell you. So anyway, we're all good. again tomorrow at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. in Sarah, Oklahoma at the Beckman County Barn. The Wheat Cattle and Risk Management 1CEU will be available. Please have your applicator number August 24th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Activity Center there in Sarah. RSVP if you can, please. Spot by calling Beckman County OSU Extension Office, Greg Hartman, Ag 4-H Youth Division and CED, Beckman County. You want his number? 580-928-2139. They'll have speakers there on wheat herbicide and production topics, wheat fungicide. That's where you'll get your CEU. Wheat pasture and fall nutrition might be a good thing to go on over now that we got a little bit of rain, got a little hope, and then economic risk management, and we've been talking about that for months. So anyway, be good. And then where's he going? Custer County or Worstall or Custer, one of those dudes, they're going over there tomorrow afternoon. Didn't write it down, sorry, my bad. Anyway, let's go over some of the ag store. No, I got a cotton deal on you guys. Anyway, let me go over this real quick. Well, as you guys probably heard by now, President Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act. Well, here's a breakdown on it for the agriculture world that I come up with. Following the approval by the Senate and the House, President Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law. The House voted 219 to 208 to approve the legislation after the Senate approved the measure by 51 to 50 votes, with Vice President Harris casting the deciding vote. So that was a pretty divided deal in Washington. The legislation includes $20 billion in funding for agriculture conservation programs and climate smart agriculture, and would authorize funding for the conservation programs through 2031 to invest into climate smart agriculture. The bill text specifics the EQIP program would receive $8.45 billion, the Conservation Reserve Program $3.25 billion, and $1.4 billion would go towards the Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, and $4.95 billion would go to the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. The legislation also includes $1 billion allotted for technical services through the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, and $300 million for the Carbon and Greenhouse Gas Emissions Quantification Program through the NRCS. In addition, the bill includes $4 billion for the drought resilience through the Bureau of Reclamation, $3.1 billion in relief funds for distressed borrowers of USDA direct or guaranteed loans, and $2.2 billion to administer aid to farmers who have experienced bad times from the USDA discrimination, if you want to call it, from the USDA before January 1st, 2021. I'm not sure what those last two numbers for distressed and discrimination. I'll have to dig into that. That sounds funny. Something going on there. Sounds like a far left deal going on there. But anyway, we'll see what goes on. Left's okay. Far left's not okay. Anyway, I got buddies on both sides of the line out here, so I try to keep it clean on the show. But anyway, that's your breakdown of the Inflation Reduction Act. And it was a pretty close act, and they're still making the news because people are still griping about some stories that we might have missed out on this week so far. Guess what? The FFA reaches an all-time membership high. Earlier this week, the National FFA organization announced a record high student membership number of 850,823 kiddos in there. That's an increase from 15% from last year. In addition, chapter numbers are increased by 178. You guys remember me reporting on Piedmont? Piedmont hadn't had a chapter in over since the early 90s. They're back at it. If you get on a Facebook on Piedmont FFA, they are getting it. They're not messing around. It's kind of fun to watch. in addition to chapter numbers increasing by 178, resulting in 8,995 chapters in the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The top five student membership sites are Texas, California, Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee. All right, Texas, you're big. California, you're big. But there's no reason why Oklahoma shouldn't be right there behind California. Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee, come on. Join it up. Also happening this week, the U.S. Agency for International Development is spending $68 million to purchase and ship Ukrainian grain. The funds are being provided to the World Food Program to purchase, ship, and store up to 150,000 metric tons of wheat. The wheat will be used to help feed people in countries facing severe hunger and malnutrition. Anyway, got lots going on. And for you case lovers over there, especially around Delhi on the construction side, check this out. The new Manator, or Manator, however you say that word, DL550 machine from Case Construction is breaking new ground. The single machine is both a dozer and a combat track loader, offering a range of options for users to maximize productivity. The machine can be outfitted with rubber or metal tracks and can work with hundreds of loader attachments. So, Brian Silk, you need to get one of these because I need to borrow it. I need to clean some trees out down south of you. So, anyway, get you one of those. All right, let's go finish up. We've got just a few minutes here. There we go. One more thing before we go. I'll make this short as I can. In the space of generation, U.S. hog production has transformed even in the Midwest, with Iowa foremost is still the leader, according to the new USDA report. There were half as many hog farms in the country 2017 as there was in 1997, and the larger farms, often specialized operations, raised 93% of the pigs. The shift to specialized operations occurred along with two other developments, a movement to widespread use of production contracts and the merging of larger operations. And the largest farms with more than 2,000 head held 61% of the U.S. hogs in 1997. Their share grew to 91% in 2017. Although one-eighth of the 66,439 hog farms in the nation, traditionally, hogs were raised on the same farm from birth until they were ready for slaughter. Such fair-to-finish operations accounted for 54% of the hog farms and 65% of the hog production in 92. Now, by 2015, 60% of the hog farms were feeder-to-finish operations, producing 83% of all hogs. FYI for you. It's all concentrated in the Midwest, but there's a lot of hog farms up here north and in Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle. So anyway, I'm stoked. Next week, KWFX 100.1. We're coming to Woodward. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. I'm Jimmy Clark. It's Day in Ag, and God bless.